ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ് ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ടോ വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഹരി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ദി അസംബ്ലിഡ് ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു എൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനെ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേം ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷകൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പദയോർത്ഥവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യം സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്വയാ ഇതരതസ് അർത്ഥേഷു വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത് സൂരയം തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജ്ജിത കൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാം വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാപരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷു വിത്തക്ഷണാൻ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാതമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം ഹനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിം ഹാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിനാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃതാനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേ മധുരീം നാ കണികാപി കാപി കാപി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിൻ ഇതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ ವಂದೇ ನಂದವ್ರಜ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣುಮಭೀಷ್ಣಶ ಯಾಸಾಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೇ ನಮಃ. ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಮದಿ ಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲಯೇಶ ಮನಿಷಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ. ಕೋಮಳಂ ಕೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣುಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಳೋಯಂ ಪುರಾರಗ ವೇದವೇದ್ಯ ಪರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಭಾಸದಾಂ ಪುರತೋ ಮಮ. ಮೂಕಂ ಕರೋತಿ ವಾಚಾಲಂ ಪಂಗುಂ ಲಂಘಯದೆ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃಪಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದಮಾಧವಂ. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯೈ ನಮಃ. ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ. So, in the 13th chapter which we have started discussions, we have seen that the the four Kumaras who went to, who came to see Lord Brahma, isn't it? So, Kumara says to Krishna, Kumara says, Guneshu avishade chedu gunas chedasija prabho ಕಥಂ ಅನ್ಯೋನ್ಯ ಸಂತ್ಯಾಗೋ ಮುಮುಕ್ಷೋ ಅತಿಥಿ ತೀರ್ಷೋ. ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ 17 ಇನ್ ದಿ 13th ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್, ವರ್ಡ್ 17. ದಿ ಸನಗ 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 ಸನಂದನ ಸನಾತನ ಸನತ್ ಕುಮಾರ, ಇಸ್ನ್ ಇಟ್, ದ ಫೋರ್ ಕುಮಾರ, ಸನಗ ಸನಂದನ ಸನಾತನ ಅಂಡ್ ಸನತ್ ಕುಮಾರ. ಸೊ ದೀಸ್ ಫೋರ್ ಕುಮಾರಸ್ ಐಸ್ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್. ಸನಗಾದೇಯ ಊಜು, ಇಟ್ ಸೈಸ್ ಸನಗಾದೇಯ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಫೋರ್ ರಿಷೀಸ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್, ದೇ ಆರ್ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್. ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ವಶನ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆಸ್ಕ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್, ಆಲ್ ಫೋರ್ ಆಫ್ ದಮ್ ಟುಗೆದರ್. ಗುಣೇಶು ಆವಿಷದೇ ಚೇದೋ ಗುಣಾಶ್ಚೇದಸ ಜ ಪ್ರಭೋ ಕಥಂ ಅನ್ಯೋನ್ಯಂ ಸಂತ್ಯಾಗೋ ಮುಮುಕ್ಷೋ ಅತಿತೀರ್ಷೋ. ಸೊ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಫೋರ್ ಕುಮಾರಸ್. ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಡೀಪ್ ರೂಟೆಡ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನ್ ವಾಜ. ಇಫ್ ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಎಟ್ ವರ್ಸ್ 9, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೆಡ್ ಸರ್ಟನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಪ್ರಾಬಬ್ಲಿ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ರಿಫ್ಲೆಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಆನ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇನಫ್. ಅಹಮಿತ್ಯನ್ಯದಾ ಬುದ್ಧಿ, ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ವೇರ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ಅಹಮಿತ್ಯನ್ಯದ ಇನ್ ದ ವರ್ಸ್ 9 ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್. ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನ್ ವಾಚ, ಅಹಮಿತ್ಯನ್ಯದ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಪ್ರಮತ್ತಸ್ಯ ಯಥಾಹೃದಿ ಉಲ್ಸರ್ಪದಿ ರಜೋಘೋರಂ ತದೋ ವೈಗಾರಿಕಂ ಮನ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ದೇರ್, ಇಸ್ನ್ ಇಟ್. ಸೊ ಹ್ಯಾವಿಂಗ್ ಸೆಡ್ ಆಲ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ದಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಆನ್ಸರ್ಡ್ ದೀಸ್ ಕ್ವೆಶ್ಚನ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಉದ್ಧವ ಬಿಫೋರ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಉದ್ಧವ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾಪ್ಚರ್ ದ ಮೆಸೇಜ್, ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೆಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಡ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಮೀ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಿ ಕುಮಾರಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ವಿತ್ ದಿ ಪ್ರೆಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ. ಸೊ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ಹೌ ದಿಸ್ ಕಮಿಂಗ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ ಟು ದಿ ದಿಸ್ ಸ್ಟೇಜ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ದಿಸ್ ಅಹಮಿತ್ಯನ್ಯದ ಬುದ್ಧಿ, ಇಫ್ ಯು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಪ್ರಾಪರ್ಲಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಗಾಟ್ ದ ರಿಯಲೈಸೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ದೆನ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ ಈಸ್ ಸಾಲ್ವ್ಡ್. ಬಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಸೋ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಹಮಿತ್ಯನ್ಯದ ಬುದ್ಧಿ? ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್, ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್. ಅಹಮಿತ್ಯನ್ಯದ ಬುದ್ಧಿ, ಅಹಮಿತ್ಯನ್ಯದ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಪ್ರಮತ್ತಸ್ಯ ಯದಾಹೃದಿ ಉಲ್ಸರ್ಪದಿ ರಜೋಘೋರಂ ತಥೋ ವೈಗಾರಿಕಂ ಮನ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಭಾಗವತಂ. ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಪ್ಯಾಕ್ಡ್ ಅ ಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದೇ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮಿಸ್ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅವರ್ ಓನ್ ಮೈಂಡ್. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್, ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ದಿ ಥಿಯರಿ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ದೇ ಕಾಲ್ ಆಸ್ ದಿ ಎವಲ್ಯೂಷನ್, ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಈಸ್ ಅ ರಾಂಗ್ ಥಿಯರಿ ಆಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಅ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಮ್ ಈಸ್ ಕನ್ಸರ್ನ್. ಎವಲ್ಯೂಷನ್ ಡಸ್ಇಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್. Evolution is a false idea. It has been propagated wrongly by the people who are in the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. It has come from them, this evolution idea. In from Sattugunam, evolution doesn't happen. Evolution means that something from imperfection it came into perfection at a later date, isn't it? That's how we consider evolution is. Darwin propagated that theory and so many others propagated that theory, and it is acceptable in the world of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. In the world of Rajogunam and Tamogunam, that is acceptable. In the world of Sattugunam, it is rejected, completely rejected. Why is that? Because from as far as this very example where you find that the where you find there that Ahamityanyada Buddhi Pramatasi Yadahdi Ulsarpadi Rajoghoram Tado Vaigarikam Mana. That means with the rise of Rajogunam, everything is gone. Everything is finished. When the Rajogunam has come up, automatically anything that is coming from Rajogunam has to have all misunderstanding. And this theory of evolution is a misunderstanding which has come from Rajoguna. That's what it is. Another reason, you cannot put, you apply your intelligence logic in these things. A certain purity is necessary inside before we discuss Shastram. That's why Krishna, Krishna's beginning itself, he said, Satvam rajastam idi guna buddherna chalpana satvam anyadamo hanyal satvam satvena chaivahi. That only in Satvagunam these things can be understood properly. The four Kumaras, according to Shastram, they were Jnananishtas. They were the perfect soul, fully realized in Jnanis they were. They were Jnananishtas, Brahmanishta and Jnananishta, two things. They were Jnananishtas, Jnanis they were. And those four Kumaras, they were the first creator from the mind of Lord Brahma. They have come up from the mind of Lord Brahma. And because it is like that, they have come from Lord Brahma's heart, they are called Brahma's Manasaputras, who came from the mind of Lord Brahma. So it is them that we are saying to them that Kumaras, it's come down forward and perfected us, which looks ridiculous to say to anybody, from Kumaras have come down and we the perfect one than the compared to Kumaras. So on the other way, it's the opposite thing that is what has happened. They were Jnananishtas, the four Kumaras story, as you know, in the Bhagavatam itself, there's so much about the Kumaras, isn't it? Chandogya Upanishad was spoken by Kumaras to Sri Narada Maharshi. And then, as I mentioned before, that from these four Kumaras, we got all, they were the cause of all the appearance of Ramachandra, Krishna, Narasimha Murthy, and also Varaha. Four incarnations have come from them because of their cursing the Vijaya and Vijaya. Isn't it? From there, all these incarnations happened. So they were not naturally ordinary people. They could travel to other planets. They were discussing with Krishna. They were discussing with Brahma. They are the spiritual masters of Sri Narada Maharshi. And if we apply that logic to them, that from them it got perfect, and we, the Dhinadhyatmas and all, are the perfect soul creations of this world, if you say that, how you will feel about that? So it's the same thing. That is the same thing what we are talking about here. That perfection is not possible by our effort. Perfection is already there in the nature. That perfection has got imperfect, and got deteriorated, and we came into existence in that last chain. Our disciplic succession is like that. That the disciplic succession ends with us as the most imperfect creatures, imperfect created beings in this world. This is how it is. So better not to think about this evolutionary process too much. Evolution is the wrong idea. It's the wrong principle. Shastram don't accept that. Even if you leave behind all these things, if you look into other fields in this area also, you will see evolution doesn't work really. Take for example, in the Sanskrit literature, there's only one poet so far. The original poet is Valmiki. Valmiki is the only poet in the Sanskrit literature, which is a very vast literature. All others who have come later, perfect literature came from Valmiki in the form of Ramayanam. Valmiki's literature, Ramayanam, is the perfect literature. From them, others came. For example, Kalidas came. Kalidas was a great poet, wasn't he? When Kalidas recognizes, Kalidas also admits that I've just followed Valmiki. Then another great poet, Magha, he also says, I follow Valmiki. So Valmiki is the original poet, and all others are the imperfect followers of Valmiki. They could never reach the stage where Valmiki reached, where Valmiki has reached in poetry. They could never reach that stage. So even if you take the field of literature, you can see that originally, where is the spontaneous creation from the great poet Valmiki? It is a spontaneous creation, and from him the other poets later on followed him, tried to imitate him, or tried, they recognized that they were following Valmiki's footsteps and trying to compose several other literature. So in all fields, if you look, it is the same thing. That we have to very closely observe this. Take for example Hindustani music, classical Hindustani music. The original preceptors of Hindustani music are the gopis. It is from them Hindustani music had come. And no matter who had come afterwards, they were not the inventors of all the ragas and all the other technicalities of the Hindustani music had originated from them. Others have come and started following the same route, but they will never be perfect as those who have created that in the first instance. Same thing with the Carnatic music also. Carnatic music also, the preceptors were Tyagaraj and others. What they have written and they have composed, later on, Bollywood, Mollywood and all that, they started copying it and took it to film and started developing, and they said they are the creators. But because the musicians in the classical tradition, they were not business-like people. So they were not patent their ragas or anything like that. It was open to all. The ragas were open to all. They taught anyone. That was the difference in Sattugunam and Rajogunam. When it comes to Rajogunam, you want to charge everything. When it is in Sattugunam, everything is free. There is, this is also the difference coming from that. In Sattugunam, you will not think about, you want the benefit, welfare of other living entities. If somebody takes to the knowledge, somebody takes to the classical music and learns, sings bhajans, the people are happy with that. But in Rajogunam, what you do? Immediately you want to patent it first and then you want to charge people for that. Isn't that comes from Rajogunam. So all these ragas and everything, which you can see in famous movie songs and all that, where does this come from? It's not the invention of the music composers or musicians in the film industry. They have taken it from the ragas that were created by the Hindustani music and Carnatic music. It's from them they have taken all these things, and it is they who have worked with them before, they learned them and they went to the film industry when they wanted to make wealth, make money. So this is a simple theory, everybody knows about it. But what I'm saying is that when it was in Sattugunam, it stayed free, open to all. When it came to Rajogunam, it came to charging money, making money out of it. So that's the difference. So, but the thing is this, that even if it is like that, even today, if there is some classical music concert, no matter, there were so many other great musicians who came after Tyagaraja, in the Carnatic tradition I'm talking about, or the same thing with the Hindustani tradition also, many great musicians have come afterwards. They have composed songs. They were very knowledgeable in the Shastram, particularly of the Yoga Shastram and Tantram and everything. And their music flows from that, particularly related to Sri Parvati and all the songs that they have written. On a very highly technical level, they have written those songs. But none of them are anywhere close to Tyagaraja's songs. So even Carnatic music concerts, ultimately, the the singers or the people who are singing the songs, at least they will sing a few songs from Tyagaraja before they close their concert. This is the system. Why is it like that? Because they know that the origin is from there. It has come from there. So similarly, so many other fields, if you look, you will see that this thing called what we call that evolution and development later is a false concept. It's not a proper concept. Krishna doesn't accept that. Shastram doesn't accept that. So the important thing is that anything that has been created in this world spontaneously, originally, that is a spontaneous creation. And our theory is that something was created and kept on get developed later on, isn't it? So this development principle is not proper because they are only imitating. Perfection will never come from that. Because if you look at it like that, the highest knowledge in the Shastram has come from the oldest Vedic literature, Upanishads. Upanishads carry the highest knowledge. You can't make it more perfect than what's already there in the Upanishads. It's already there in the Upanishads. There's no question of developing Upanishads further. All the major 10 Upanishads, Ishakena, Katha, Prashna, Munda, Mandukya, Taittiriya, Aitireya, Chandokyam, Bṛhadāraṇyam. The major 10, they remained much before all the Acharyas appeared. Even Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Long before that, Upanishads time, they were revealed to the sages. And all the great personality sages, they gave it to us, and it remains as it is today. Nobody could develop that anymore. We are still accepting that as the authority, and we follow that. All the Acharyas who came in all different traditions, what they did was, they accepted that knowledge from Upanishads as it is, and realized their own realizations. But they never once said, I have developed the Upanishads what were originally given to us by the sages. They never said that, not once. neither Shankaracharya nor Ramanuja nor Madhva nor Vishnu Swami nor Chaitanya Mahaprabhu nor Nimbarkacharya, not one of the Acharyas said that I have now upgraded the Upanishads, what was given to us. They didn't upgrade it. They say we have tried as best as possible for us to understand what the sages have given to us. This is the difference between the theory of evolution and the process of descending this knowledge from the Shastram. So, if we keep these things in mind, we will get a little understanding of what Krishna is going to say in the future. So, now if you look into Srival Bhagavatam also, all those principles, what is in the Upanishads, what Krishna has spoken here in this Ekadasha Skandam, you cannot improve it better than this. Only Krishna can do that. Nobody else can do that. Who else can say, Ahamityanyada buddhi, Ahamityanyada buddhi, Pramattasya yadakadi, verse 9, Ulsarpadi rajokhavaram tado vaigarikam mana. Krishna is saying like that. So, whatever it may be, that the evolution theory is a wrong theory. That's all I have to say here. There is only one thing we have to understand is, there is only spontaneous creation. Spontaneous creation. Originally that has happened. And that, whether it is in the field of music, literature, or anything for that matter, is actually spontaneously what was created in the originally there, that has come down to us. And we may have changed something here and there, but the pure knowledge what they have given us, that is the perfection. That is what is. If you understand Shastram, study Shastram and understand that, then you can reach closer to perfection. Closer, but you will never become the same as what who has given us these things. That's their perfection. In that perfect realized state, they are talking to us. Spiritual realization is coming down to us. So, everything in the material nature is like that. Everything in the material nature is like that. Whatever we have created, it will never have the same perfection as the original is. It will never have the same perfection as this. So, in every field of life, if you apply this and you will start analyzing it, you will see the same thing is true. Same thing is true. Suddenly, some civilization develops and start on a materialistic level. It starts building up, but and their knowledge is also faulty, very faulty, that they may feel that they have developed a lot. Because those who have developed this evolution theory, they did not have any past history to show. They have no past history to show. So therefore, they had to say like this, that what they sound, according to their modes of nature, they presented this to us in that way, and we all started learning that, and we all started accepting that also as the truth. People also always say like this, isn't it? All our men were living in the caves, they were fighting with swords and stones and all that kind of things. Anyway, what it is that Sanaka, Sanandana, Sanat, the four Kumaras also, that for them also, they have learned from Brahma, first thing. First thing, they were children of Brahma. And there was no Rajogunam or Tamogunam in them. In these four Kumaras, there was no Rajogunam or Tamogunam. They were purely situated in knowledge. Jnananishtha they had. And then came Lord Shiva. Rudra came after that, isn't it? So Lord Shiva calls them as their elder brother. That's how he addresses them. He addresses the four Kumaras as his elder brother because they were born before him. So, it is after that, as you know, Swayambhu, Manu and Shadaruba came. Isn't it? Manu started after that. Swayambhu, Manu and Shadaruba came. Prajapatis came. Swayambhu, Manu and Shadaruba came. And then, from Manu's descendants we are called man. Man came from Manu. The word man came from Manu. By then, till the point Manu and Shadaruba were created, the creation was not like the way it has happened now. It was from the mind, mostly from Brahma's mind. And Brahma created many things from his forehead. So many things mentioned in the Bhagavatam, you can read that. So, if you look into creation, you can see this process of creation by man-woman combination started only with Swayambhu Manu and Shadaruba. Swayambhu Manu and Shadaruba, which came much later. And that is how Srishti has started, because in this way creation to happen, you require Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Do you understand? That in this way, the way it is happening now, creation in this world, in this way creation to happen, you require Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Whereas in the time when much before Swayambhuvamanu's creation, Swayambhuvamanu Shadruvadevi started creation, prior to that, creation was not with Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Therefore, most of the created beings were also in the higher realized state, in the higher realized state. So, this policy that that from perfection, what is happening is imperfection comes. So, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, these are all imperfections which has come later into it, into the creation process. And that's why today's creation is totally imperfect. And when the Tamogunam is predominating and Rajogunam also is there, then the products we are all of that. That product of Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So, this is, this imperfection is only a feeling, thought inside, in the perfection. Perfect state is there. In that, when our mind moves in different directions, imperfections builds up, and due to influence of Maya, we take it as perfect. That's all it is. So, Sattugunam will teach us these things very precisely, that what Sattugunam means is this, that seeing things as they are, distracted by the Rajogunam and Tamogunam. That is the first point. So, so that is that perfection is what we see in these four Kumaras. So, the question they are asking to Lord Brahma, and Brahma answering their question, Brahma could not answer their question. Brahma could not answer their question. That's what you find in the Bhagavatam. That Krishna appeared at that point and instructed them in the field of knowledge. Jnanopadesham it's called. That is what is this subject called Hamsagita, what we refer to as Hamsagita. And Krishna appears as a Hamsam. Now, this is a bird, Hamsam. We don't know what that bird doesn't exist today as we say. The closest translation in English is swan. We say the swans. Yeah. But it is not that. There is different different commentaries on that. There's one commentary saying Krishna appeared as a Paramahamsa and spoke. But they had taken the form of Hamsam in order to say that, because Hamsam has got that, we'll see, come to that later. Hamsam has a specific capacity to separate between milk and the water. But that kind of Hamsam, if you ask, I don't know whether the swans, if you hand over some milk and water mixed, whether they'll separate it or not. So naturally, that's not what they refer to. That Hamsam is a bird that existed in the past, probably doesn't exist. So Krishna appears there, and Krishna's discussions between Kumaras and Krishna as Hamsam is what is Hamsa Ubhakyanam, this thing what we are going to talk about. And this Hamsa Ubhakyanam is the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam's heart it is. So therefore, Bhagavatam has been given this name as Paramahamsa Samhita. Paramahamsa Samhita. Paramahamsas learn Srimad Bhagavatam. Only those who are Paramahamsas learn Srimad Bhagavatam. So, therefore, I'll just read a few verses and we'll go to that, what it is. First thing, Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, first verse, Sattvam rajastamaiti guna buddherna chalpana Sattvena nyatamo hanyal sattvam sattvena chaivahi Sattva dharmo bhaved bruddhal pumsomal bhakti lakshana Satigo vasaya sattvam tado dharma pravartade Dharmo rajastamo hanyal sattva vrdhiren uttama Ashunashri tanmulo adharmo ubhaye hade Agamo praja desha kalakarma janmaja dhyanam andhroda samskaram dashede gunahedava tatal satyam evesham iddil vrdha prajakshade nindanditamasam yatval rajasam tadube akshidam satyuga nyeva seveda puman sattva vardhaye tado dharmastado jnanam yaval smriti rapohanam venu sangarsha jovan nirdagdva shamedita dvanam evam gunavityayajo dehasham meditalkriyam. ശ്രീ ഉദ്ധവ ഉവാചാം വിദന്തിമർത്യാപ്രായേണ വിഷയാൻ ഭഗവാ അപദാം തദാഭിമുഞ്ചതേ കൃഷ്ണ തൽക്കഥം ശുഭരാജവ ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ ഉവാചാം അഹമിത്യന്യതാ ബുദ്ധി പ്രമത്തസേദാഹൃതി ഉത്സർപ്പതി രജോ ഘോരം തഥോ വൈകാരികം മന രജോയുക്തസ്യ മനസാ സങ്കൽപ്പ സവികൽപ്പക തദക്കാമോ ഗുണധ്യാനാൽ ദുസ്സഹസ്യ അതിദുർമതേ കരോതി കാമവശക കർമാണി അവിജിതേന്ദ്രിയ ദുഃഖോദർക്കാണി സമ്പശൻ രജോവേഗ വിമോഹിതാഹ രജസ്തമോഭ്യാം യദപി വിദ്വാൻ വിക്ഷിപ്തീ പുന അതന്ത്രിതോ മനോ യുഞ്ചൻ ദോഷദൃഷ്ടിർന്ന സജ്ജതേ അപ്രമത്തോ അനിയുഞ്ചീത മനോ അയർപ്പയൻ ശനൈ അനിർവണ്ണോ യഥാകാലം ജിതശ്വാസോ ജിതാസന ഏതാവാൻ യോഗമാദിഷ്ടോ മച്ചിഷ്യൈ സനകാദിവി സർവതോ മനമാകൃഷ്യ മയ്യാ ധാവേശ്യതേ യഥാ സോ ശ്രീ ഉദ്ധവാചായം സനകാദിഭ്യോ യേന രൂപേണ കേശവ യോഗമാവിഷ്ടദേ യോഗമാദിഷ്ടവാൻ നേത്ര രൂപമിച്ഛാമി വേദിതം That's why Krishna says here that Uddhava mentioned to Krishna that how did you discuss this with the four Kumara Sanagadi Sanaka Rishis? And I would like to know when this happened, in what form you have instructed this. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the name given to it is Paramahamsa Samhita, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavatam actually means also knowledge. It's also knowledge. At the end of every chapter, in the original Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look, for example, Sridhara Swami's commentary or any other commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see, it is Srimad Bhagavate Mahapurane, Paramahamsyam Samhidayam, and whatever the Ekadasha Skandam, Adhyayam, whatever that they will mention there. So in every end of every chapter, it will say Paramahamsa Samhita, Paramahamsyam Samhidayam. And Paramahamsa Dharmam is what is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So just like Hamsam, the bird, has its nature of separating milk and the water, how it separates the milk from that, and that is God, Hamsam has got that nature. So Paramahamsa's also, what is the Paramahamsa's quality then? Why is it compared to the Paramahamsa's? Paramahamsa's what they do, the dead matter and the living force. The dead matter and the living force. They can separate the living force from the dead matter and in that realized state they can stay in this world. That is their capacity. Like the Hamsam, the bird that separates the milk from the water, Paramahamsas are in a position to separate the spirit from the matter and stay in that spiritual identity or spiritual awareness all the time. So that Anubhava Mandalam means our experience in this world is combination of both, isn't it? We are all experiencing so many things in this world. Like example, you meet somebody else, one person meets another person. What is he experiencing from that person? In one level, he is experiencing the spirit from that person, isn't it? That you know by the nature that your existence, you are seeing in that person also, existence. But outside you are also seeing his gross body, the mind and all other things. So what you are actually perceiving in this world is a mixture of spirit and matter. Every living entity is spirit and matter, isn't it? There's a soul inside and the material body covering him. Material body, mind, intelligence, ego, and senses all together. When you see a person, you are seeing a mixture of all these things. And generally, we see the matter side more, isn't it? The matter is what we notice in a person, not the spirit inside. But we have a subtle understanding there is a living force inside. The Paramahamsas are those who don't see the matter in a person. They only see the soul inside. So if we reach that state one day, you can also say that Paramahamsa stage is like that. That they only see the presence of the soul in another person, not the gross manifestation of the external body. Those who are seeing the external body like that, they have no realizations, in other words. They know realizations, in other words. So, those people who see their own Swarupam, what they are, in other words, self-realized state, and those they see also in other people, the same souls present in another form, in another person, but externally in different form, those who have reached that state, they are called Paramahamsas. because they have already separated it properly. Like the birds, the Hamsam has separated milk and the water. The Paramahamsas have also separated the spirit from the material body, gross body. So once we have understood that, actually, this is what Vedavyasa Maharshi is trying to do with us. Simple as that. Vedavyasa Maharshi is trying that somehow or the other to take us, holding our hand, is taking us to that position of Paramahamsa stage. And Vedavyasa Maharshi desires that. This is the only reason why he brought Sukadeva Goswami to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, because he is another Paramahamsa who reached that state already. Among best among the Paramahamsas is Sukadeva Goswami, best among them. So he decided to teach him Srimad Bhagavatam, and through Srimad Bhagavatam, this Paramahamsa Samhita came to us, came to this world. So you can see here, Paramahamsa Samhitayam, Paramahamsa Samhita, spoken by a Paramahamsa, and wanted, and eventually what happens, when Parikshit Maharaj also reached that state, what did he started speaking the same language as Sukadeva Goswami. Have you looked at that? When you look, it's a very complex subject this is. Unless, if you keep on thinking about it, you will see that the complexity of the whole thing, and how much deep absorption is required to understand what this Krishna is saying here. What Krishna is saying here. Krishna finishes up in few verses everything and left it to us to understand it properly. Unfortunately, that is why we need all these, so many commentaries that come from Srimad Bhagavatam, because of all this. Krishna's words were so precise and straight about this, and that is Krishna's way of saying things. But because we are, our base qualities, we know Rajogunam Tamogunam, and nothing will go in. Whatever is said, Krishna said here, we will read the verses, but when it comes to realization, it becomes very, very, very difficult. That's why Krishna is saying here that those who are in the sannyasa stage also, those who are in the highest platform, they are called Paramahamsas. You will see Prabhupada also talks about four stages of sannyasam, isn't it? You must have read that in the book. Prabhupada's commentary also, you will see four stages of sannyasam. That, so out of that four, the last one is Paramahamsa stage. Paramahamsa stage is the last one. Basically, Paramahamsa stage means totally realized state. So, those who have that nishta, swarupa jnanam, or in other words, the knowledge of the self, full knowledge of the self. And although they live in this world, all the time they are situated within the self and enjoying the self, that happiness that is coming from the self, such a person is called Paramahamsa, even while living in this world. In other words, just like milk and the water we mentioned before, so we don't know how to separate milk from the water when it is mixed together, isn't it? We don't know how to separate this out. But similarly, it is as difficult as separating the milk from the water. It is actually more difficult than that, is separating in our experience of the real identity of the soul from the matter. It's more difficult than that. We haven't got any technology as far as I understand. You can actually boil the milk and probably make it into burfi or something. But in the same situation as the milk and the water separated like that, that is a difficult thing, to separate the milk from the water. But I don't know if there's any scientific process, but irrespective of that, at that point, Krishna's time, this is how it was spoken, that the Paramahamsa stage was like that. That the important thing is, here are so many things to know. See, the knowledge of the self, or the experience of the self, everybody has in this world, isn't it? Atmanubhavam. Atmanubhavam, everybody has in this world. There is nobody who can say that I have no experience of the self. It will be wrong to say like that. Why? Because if it is something that has to come from outside, suppose if you think that the self has to be realized from outside, if it has to come from outside, it will go also one day. It will leave us also one day. Because something come from outside means just leave also outside. But Shastram is pointing out to us, it's already there inside. The soul is already there inside. Krishna is present inside. In each and every living entity, Krishna is present inside. The only difference is, only in the human body, this realization of the self is possible. Because all other necessary ingredients, Krishna has provided in the human body. If you remember, Brahmava Loka Dishanam Udamapa Deva, Ekadasya Skandam, earlier we were saying, when Brahma created the human body, he found perfection in that body. Krishna says there that in human body, you have this perfection state. That it, if you put effort in this body, it is possible to know the truth. It's possible to realize the truth. Whereas in animal body, it is not possible. They don't have all the tools for that. They don't have all the tools for that. Three states of existence, and the mind, the intelligence, the senses, and Shastram, and the spiritual masters, temples, Varnashrama Dharmam, all these things are given to us in order to facilitate this one thing, self-realization, realizing the truth. So Krishna's point is that knowledge of the self is not to come from outside. And this constant experience of presence, our own awareness of our existence, itself is an indication of the soul. We have mentioned this before also. Where did this, no scientist has still answered where this awareness is coming from, of our existence, isn't it? They don't know anything about that. They all say that I am this, I am that, and all that. But nobody is able to say this awareness that my existence, I'm existing all the time, is coming from where? It's coming from the soul, isn't it? It's coming from the soul. Dead matter cannot experience awareness. Awareness, they cannot experience. For example, if I speak to the mic, mic is not conscious. So anything dead matter in this creation has no awareness, isn't it? It has no awareness. It doesn't know it exists. Mic doesn't know that. If I call the mic, Mr. Mike, mic won't answer me, will it? So it doesn't know. It exists. Matter it is, dead matter. Same thing, the soul can exist only in living entities where Krishna has entered in there as the presence of the soul inside. So that itself is the indication that the presence of the soul is inside. But what has happened to us is, the problem what we have got is, in our experience, all we know is hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching. This is the only thing we know. This is the problem. We think that only this is what is possible. This is our misunderstanding. We have and also this is on the sensual level. Five knowledge, senses of knowledge. What is that? Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. Isn't it? The five senses of knowledge. These five senses of knowledge is constantly interacting with the world. So it has become a habit with us that these five senses, whatever is coming through that, is only the knowledge. We are thinking like that. Number one. Then the subtle body inside also doing two things. What is that? Sangalpam, Vigalpam. Isn't it? Mind is doing that. Sangalpam and Vigalpam. That is manasa. Mind means what? Mind is nothing but it creates sangalpam. A lot of sangalpams it creates. I'll go this evening to such and such a place. I'll meet somebody there. I'll do this tomorrow. All kinds of sangalpam is going on. Actually, to understand this, it's a long subject to talk about this, sangalpam, vigalpam. Vigalpam is all the other thoughts that's coming and changing this sangalpam. Different kinds of vigalpams are coming. So, and plus added to that, the false ego is also throwing abhimanam along with that. Our false ego comes in and tells us so many other things that I am this, I am that, I am that. So a mixture of all these things, what is that? The five senses of knowledge, the mind, the false ego, all these things together causes what is known as vigalpam. This is called vigalpam. Vigalpam means, we generally refer to vigalpam in the sense that it keeps you busy in this world with limited understanding of this world. Limited understanding of this world. In the sense that the Shabdasprasha Rupa Rasa Gandham, the five senses of knowledge, that whatever information that brings into us, we accept that as knowledge. We accept that as knowledge. So, from the Shastram point of view, because of our consciousness going through the mind and the senses to this external world, the external world comes in front of us in a variety of ways. That is why we feel this variegatedness in the creation. You see, the variegatedness in the creation through matter, it happens through matter, not through the soul. Whatever we are experiencing, the variegatedness in the creation, isn't it? Variegated means all the trees, plants, and different living entities, birds, bees, animals, aquatics, and all sorts of human species. A wide range of variation in the creation is experienced by us because of what is called vikalpam. Vikalpam means in none of these things we are seeing the one underlying factor which is inside. That we are not noticing. We are only noticing the external manifestation, what we are receiving through our senses. Do you know what I'm saying? Only what you are perceiving through the senses is what you are accepting as knowledge today. I mentioned this before also. There is two things. One, what you perceive in this world. Everything is perception in this world, isn't it? Through the senses you do perception. But experience is something different. Anubhava mandalam. That is coming from the soul. That's coming from the soul. So, mistakenly we think the objects are bringing the happiness to us. Happiness doesn't come from the objects. Distress also don't come from the objects. It's coming from the soul. From the soul, through the vasanas inside, it creates a situation in the mind and we experience that. Whenever somebody talks to us, say, somebody glorifies you nicely. Somebody glorifies you. What happens? Actually, it is not his glorification that is causing the problem. When he glorifies, from inside an anubhuti comes from the soul, that some things he has spoken, and inside your vasanas, through some sadvasana or good vasanas inside, start responding to that. But that experience what you are getting at that time is not coming from his words, not coming from the mind, it's coming from the soul. But it manifests in you at that point in that particular form, according to the vasanas inside. Similarly, if somebody speaks to you in an insulting way, it's the same thing that repeats again. After all, it's only a bunch of words, isn't it? Why should we get disturbed? If somebody talks to you in a rude way, used all the bad words and spoke to you, why should you get disturbed? After all, it's words, isn't it? Shabdam, it is sound, it is. Why should we take that seriously? But in our vasanas inside, we have already accepted that that sound means something. And we give an interpretation of that sound in a particular way and we get disturbed over it. But when that disturbance happens, the insult is experienced by the mind. Mind is what is, the soul is not experiencing any of these things. But that experience what you are getting is coming from the soul. In other words, the ability to experience is coming from the soul. If the soul pulls out, you won't feel anything. But because soul is, mind has come from the soul. So when the mind has come from the soul, the mind, this is the nature of the mind, to react to situations in a particular way. So all these things are called vikalpam. These are all called vikalpam. So you see the problem with this vikalpam, that if you look at it only, these are all very, very subtle things in the spiritual science. What happens is with vikalpam, once vikalpam happens, we start thinking there are so many objects in this world. Once you have noticed this variety of objects, what will happen is, you, according to your vasanas inside, to some objects you will feel attachment and to some objects you will feel aversion. It is bound to happen. Attachment and aversion will bound to happen. So from there onwards, parampara starts of distress. Once this happens inside, attachment and aversion to another person, another object, or another anything in this world, attachment and aversion starts, means immediately distress should follow. Krishna mentioned this in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Very explicitly he says this. Ragadveshavamuktaistu vishayan indriyaischaran. So those whose senses are active, those who are busy in the sensual world, remember that, those who are busy in the sensual world, like all of us, 100% you can say practically, those who are busy in the sensual world, they will have ragam and they will have dvesham. They will have ragam and they will have dvesham. It is impossible to take it away. Why? Their field of experience and their field of activity and all their interactions is happening within the field of the senses, within the field of the mind, and with all these vikalpams associated with that. So how difficult it is, Krishna is saying to us, that when you come to sattvagunam, what happens is, this vikalpam pulls back. Vikalpam all goes away, when it comes to pure sattvagunam. That's why Krishna is saying, that unless you are in the sattvagunam, this what Krishna is going to talk about now to the Kumaras, will not be experienced, will not be understood, in other words. Theoretically you may say, yes, I am understanding, I am understanding, but you won't get, not getting it though. That's the problem. You'll understand it theoretically, yes, yes, all makes sense what Krishna is saying, but when it comes to experiencing it, it's not happening. It's not happening. That is the problem here. So, it's a big subject, this is in the Vedanta philosophy also, this is a big subject. So, attachment and aversion develops. With that what happens? Duality has developed. That's where duality begins. Both have come from ignorance. Which one? Ajnanam is the cause of that, isn't it? This attachment and aversion is duality. It's nothing but duality. Remember dvandvam. Dvandvam, Krishna talks about dvandvam, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita also dvandvam is discussed a lot, isn't it? Dvandvam. And Bhagavatam also dvandvam is spoken about. What is this dvandvam? Dvandvam is this, that through senses, through mind, we interact with the world and vikalpam is created, and that vikalpam develops into attachment and aversion, which means it's nothing but ajnanam. Krishna says is ignorance at that stage. It's nothing but the two, duality has come from ajnanam. So it is from this ajnanam that we have accepted that there are so many living entities in this world, so many different species in this world. Science is busy talking about all the species in this world, isn't it? They go in that direction, in the direction of finding out new species. They are particular about to retain all the species, what is going in extinction, they are saying. So they collect money for that and save the species and all kinds of things they talk about. But when you see from Krishna's view, you can see that all these species and variegatedness, all what you find in the creation, is nothing but ignorance, Krishna is saying here. It's nothing but ignorance. Because what has happened here is that, first thing we start experiencing, there are so many different objects in this world. And what is that, the origin from there, it has come, it has come like this. Just like the milk and the water is mixed up, similarly, the person who is seeing and the objects he is seeing got mixed up. The person who is seeing it and the object what he is seeing got mixed up. In other words, drik and drishyam, it's called. Drik, we are the drik. Drik is the soul inside everyone. And drishyam is what is seen. Drishyam is what is seen. So drik and drishyam, when it gets mixed up, the result will be this confusion what we are seeing, that we are seeing this variation or variegatedness in the creation. This is called ajnanam. Ajnanam is this. This is, Krishna calls it as ajnanam. Ajnanam is not, actually that word actually strictly speaking doesn't exist as such in the Shastram, but you will find some verses, ajnanati mirandasya jnananjana shalagaya chakshun milidam yena tasmai shri gurave nama. So there, actually what they have done is, they put this letter A in front of jnanam. That is ajnanam. They put that word A in front of ajnanam. They have only joined A to jnanam. That's what it is. So jnanam is already there in everybody. In everybody, jnanam is knowledge. But what has happened is, just like the milk and the water is mixed up, the drik, the seeing person who is seeing. See, what's happening is that this experience of this world through the mind and the senses, when we are experiencing, we are in that process, we lose the identity who is seeing this. Who is seeing this? That we don't see. We don't look at it. We only look at the object and start making comments about the
object, isn't it? We don't look anything behind. And who is seeing, who is perceiving, who is experiencing this? When you are looking at an object, when they say drishyam means, drikan drishyam is for the, is a general word used for all senses as well. For example, when you see, hear through the ear, also it's the same thing apply. The person who is hearing, that is more important than what he is hearing. But now normally, when you hear something, you don't think, oh, who is hearing this? On the other hand, what do you think? You think about what you heard. That's what will go through your mind straight away. Similarly, when you see, say, a billboard, something on the street, if you see, immediately you don't see, oh, I am seeing this. That thought never comes to you, do you? Does it? It doesn't come. What normally happens is, I saw that billboard, this says like this. But the thought is not important there. The drik is missing. Drishyam is only seeing, where drika and the seer and what is seen is got mixed up. That got mixed up. Drik and drishyam has got mixed up. So, in the Shastram, it is called that Payo Jalavat Spudavat Drik Drishya Padartham Vivachet Avarana Chutihi. If what it means is that that the, just like the milk and the water is mixed up, and similarly drik and the seer and the seen is also mixed up. Little by little, if you can separate the person who is seeing this from what is being seen, then that will create what is known as avarana chudi. Avarana chudi means that we have a cover in front of us. You know, vikshepam and avaranam, two things through which maya is covering us, isn't it? It creates vikshepam and it also creates avaranam. Vikshepam and avaranam means, let's understand what that means. Vikshepam is the deluding potency. It puts us into a delusion. And avaranam is the covering potency. Avaranam is the covering potency. Now, when you see an object in this world, any object for that matter, something gives you an impression that its external form as the reality, isn't it? For example, I see somebody and I accept that person's external form as a reality, that is my first illusion, isn't it? That's my illusion. That's not his real identity, isn't it? His real identity is not that external body. His identity is spirit soul. So in other words, by seeing him in the external body and calling him by the name and identifying with the body and all, is completely coming from maya, is illusion. So that is called the deluding potency. Deluding potency. In other words, something that is not you, what you are, is perceived by me as reality. Perceived by me as reality. That is deluding potency. Covering potency is that I am covered, my vision is covered by this covering potency in such a way that I am not seeing the truth. These two things, very subtle things they are, but they are both involved in that. Covering potency and the deluding potency. Covering potency and the deluding potency. Another example, easier than that, when you have seen the rope, when you have seen the rope lying there, you have not seen the rope's true form, isn't it? But that is called the deluding potency, not seeing the rope in its pure form. Say in the twilight, you are walking and some rope was lying there. So when you saw the rope, suddenly you thought it is not a rope, something else you thought. That is the cover of maya, called deluding potency, or it's called vikshepam. Vikshepam it's called. Now, instead of that, instead of rope, somebody from inside has told you it's a snake. That is the covering potency. That's the covering potency. In other words, you have superimposed a snake on the rope and it's really confused, you are convinced yourself that it's a snake. So, yes, rope hasn't changed, rope is lying there as the rope only, but in my mind it has created all these emotions inside. A fear has come from that, a misunderstanding developed inside, and I'm reacting to that situation falsely. Isn't it? All these things are in a chain, it happens inside me. Is it not? When you misunderstand something in this world, what will happen? This is what will happen. Either it will create a fear inside. It will create a fear if you know it's a snake inside. Then a misunderstanding has developed inside, that snake will bite me or I'll get killed. All kinds of fear has come along with that. then its true form is not, and it creates all other reactions in me immediately after that. So Krishna's point is exactly like that. In the same way, when we are interacting with this world through the senses and the mind, all that interactions are all false. All are false. You may wonder why it's false. How do you say it's false? I got everything signed and we both signed on the paper. Agreement has been signed. Krishna says that yadidam manaso vacha. That is why he said in the beginning of Ekadasham itself, yadidam manaso vaja chakshubhyam sharvanadipi nashwaram grihyamanam cha vidhi maya manomayam. It is mayamayam, it is manomayam. It has not gone beyond that stage. All interactions with this world, yadidam manasa by mind, vaja by words, chakshusa by eyes, shravanam by hearing, all that what you are interacting in this world, Krishna is saying, chakshubhyam sharvanadipi nashwaram. They are all temporary. That is the first thing. Why? Because they are false, that's why they are temporary. Because it is temporary, it is false. It's not permanent. Krishna is not accepting that. Nashwaram grihyamanam cha. Know that, Uddhava, vidhi, mayamayam and manomayam. It is only by the interaction of the mind and maya together gives you that experience. It is not a creation from the soul. So you can see that all our activities and all our so-called education, all our intellectual exercise is all in this level, in this state, which is that mayamayam, manomayam. Having said that, Krishna is saying here that when we talked of avaranachudi, that's what we are talking about. Avaranachudi means this avaranam, this covering potency will drop when you know this drik and drishyam has separated. Once the drikka drishyam separation has happened inside, this avaranachyuti will happen. Avaranachyuti means this false superimposition will stop in that person. All these things happen in a person in an extremely pure state, an extremely subtle level. That's why these things cannot be handed over to someone. One who practices this and prays to Krishna's mercy, and if Krishna gives it to us, we can have it. Otherwise not. Only through Krishna's mercy this will happen. Because the truth Krishna is speaking there. And because of our grossness, rajogunam and tamogunam's depth in us, all looks very difficult to practically experience this. So, Uddhava's case, that problem didn't happen. Such a great personality, Krishna has recognized him. Tandu bhagavadeshvaham. That purity he has reached, that state as devotee, was so high, Uddhava grasped immediately what Krishna was talking about. So, that is why this is explained in like this, that coverage will go. Which coverage? Just like the sun is shining and a group of clouds have come and covered the sun. Actually, you cannot cover the sun with a small group of clouds, isn't it? It cannot cover. But we here in this world sitting in one corner, we think that the sun is covered by the cloud. Sun can never be covered by the cloud. He is so huge compared to a small group of clouds. So, similarly, the soul which is very powerful and very highly state of consciousness of satyam, jnanam, ananda, anandam, that is the nature of the soul, it cannot be covered by this little ignorance inside. Ignorance cannot cover that. The soul is so powerful inside. So, but when we have drik drishya vivekam happen, drik drishya vivekam it's called, when this discrimination has happened properly inside, that you have separated the drik, the siya, from the objects, what you are seeing, the seen, drishyam, then what will happen is, this avaranachyuti will go. Avaranachyuti means, right at this moment, if you look at the sun, clouds are covering that. So we declare that, oh, today is cloudy. The weather forecast is cloudy for today. But you can think yourself and see that a small group of clouds, they cannot cover. What has actually happened is, that our limited eyes can only see so much. Isn't it? It has only a limited capacity to see things. So in this eyes vision, the cloud has come and covered. In our eyes vision. But in reality, a small group of clouds cannot cover the sun. Isn't it? A small group of clouds cannot cover the earth planet is so small compared to the sun planet. And in the sun, earth planet, these clouds are moving around. And with these small clouds, we are thinking, oh, the sun is covered. That's what we say normally, isn't it? Sun is covered by the cloud. Krishna is saying here, because you are seeing through your eyes, you are not seeing from the right way, it's a defective vision, isn't it? For the eyes what you are seeing, and you are making this remark that today is a cloudy day, sun is covered, and all these kind of things are coming from out. So Krishna says that when the drikadrishya vivekam has happened, that means the seer and the seen is separated, then our vision changes. And it is called niravarana drishti. Niravarana drishti means the avaranam has gone, the coverage is gone. And when the coverage is gone, that vision is called niravarana drishti. All these things happen, as I mentioned before, only in an extreme subtle level. These things has to happen to a person who is following this process seriously. Anyway, whether it is understood or not, leave it. Why I'm saying all these things is that let it go inside and leave somewhere, let it stay somewhere inside. That there is these things also behind all these words what Krishna has spoken here. We may not fully realize everything Ekadasham today. In 2 hours to realize is not possible. Ekadasham may require the whole lifetime or several lifetimes before we can come to experience all this what Krishna is saying here. So, material world, this creation is what you see, isn't it? What you see, that's called drishyam. Similarly, material body is also drishyam, what you see, isn't it? Mind is something what you see. Mind you can see, isn't it? You can say like that he will react like this, his mind, his mentality, I know. We know his mentality, we say like that, isn't it? What does that mean? It means that I know his nature, or in other words, I know his vasanas inside, how he will react to a particular situation. So, mind you can see, and you can also see the false ego in a person, isn't it? Even though you may not see with your naked eyes like the matter, but you can see that in his activities, the false ego in a person. All these things, all these things you can somehow sense that, isn't it? Through senses or through the mind, you can sense them in this world. And if you go into a little bit more on a subtle level, in the deep sleep state, even the ignorance what you are experiencing there in the deep sleep state, that also you can sense. That also you can sense. That is the reason that the tamogunam what you are experiencing in the deep sleep state is that when you wake up from the deep sleep, you come back to jagrat state. In the jagrat state, you do report saying that I was in deep ignorance. You say like that, isn't it? Say somebody came and knocked at the door and you were in deep sleep. You went and opened the door. You woke up and you went and opened the door. What will you say first thing? I was in so much ignorance, you will say. Isn't it? So in other words, you are able to detect that also. But that means what you are seeing in the creation, what you are seeing in the through the material body, the mind, and the false ego, and even the sushupti state, the tamogunam, what you are seeing, all these things you can experience. But what you cannot see is that thing behind all these things, which makes all these things to happen, but simply staying behind as awareness of experience of all these things. And when one realizes, wakens up to that state, that he is not any of these things what he has seen, but he is that person who is seeing all these things. That is called a drikka. All this is drishyam. Which one? The creation, prabhanjam, or the manifested world, creation itself is drishyam, is seen. The gross body is drishyam. The mind is drishyam. The false ego is drishyam. Even the tamogunam in the sushupti state is also drishyam. But beyond and all these things, there is something which is on a behind all these things, allowing these things to happen within us. That is drik. Yeah, that is drik. So drik is that thing in whose presence drishyam comes. If drik is not there, drishyam doesn't exist, isn't it? Drishyam or the objects what you are seeing, all this world is existing. Why? Because he is there inside. Krishna is inside there. Therefore, you are seeing this. Is it not foolishness to acknowledge everything in this world except that? By whose presence all these things are happening, we are not acknowledging that. We are thinking that this is a mechanism, somehow it has come into existence. It didn't come into existence somehow. It has come because Krishna entered into every living entity. And He is there. Because of that, all these things are happening. That's why it said, when you're separating Drik and Drishyam, these two things are important. That the manifested world is Drik, is Drishyam. The gross body is Drishyam. The mind is Drishyam. The false ego is Drishyam. And also, even the Sushupti state, because on the three states, Sushupti is the most, is the state where you have no mind, no senses, no body, isn't it? And even in that state, even that tamogunam, what you are experiencing there, is also Drishyam. But the person behind all these things, who is keep all this going on in this way, he is the Drik. He is the Drik. So, when we have learned how to separate that person, that thing, from all these things, that is called Drishya Vivegam, or the separation capacity to separate that. And to stay in that position of that person who is inside us, all of us, doing all these things, even if we can stay for a while, then immediately for that second, we will get rid of this Avarana Chuti. Avarana Chuti will happen at that point. Avarana Chuti will happen at that point. So it is Paramahamsas are in that state. Paramahamsas are in that state. So that's why the reason why we are discussing this thing is that I know it is not going to happen to me or to you today. It's not happened to me or to happen to you today. But the reason why I am saying this is that try to understand that Srimad Bhagavatam is not such an easy text that you can say to others that I read all Bhagavatam, I understood everything. Yeah, you understood, yes, fine. But what have you understood? At least we'll start respecting Srimad Bhagavatam when you hear the subtleties of Bhagavatam. And every moment we have to recognize this fact, with the Rajogunam and Tamogunam inside us, what we are today, the possibility of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna's words is very, very remote, unless that mercy comes from Krishna's side. Krishna gives us, like He gave to Uddhava, all the great devotees have told Krishna these things. Because it is so complex, and unless Sridharacharya Swamiji Himself says this to Krishna, when He wrote this commentary, He also says there to Krishna, that without Your mercy, this is not going to happen. This cannot be understood. It is so complex. Theoretically, you can say so many things, but come to that platform of experience, it's something different. And Shastra will always accept it, only if it is in the platform of experience. Otherwise, it is not accepted. So, here, this thing, yadha yadha pratyagavastitam tadha tadha munjati bahya vasanaha. That it says there, that yadha yadha pratyagavastitam mana tatha tada munjadi bahya vasanam nishesha mokshe sadi vasananam atmana bhudi pratibandha shunyaham. So, where he says here, yadha yadha pratyagavastiti mana, then as much as our mind gets established in the innermost self, in the soul, proportionately we will give up our desires for external objects. Our connection goes away with the external objects. Today, you see, spiritual life will not work with material life. This is all great devotees have proven that. At some point, today what are we trying to do? We are trying to keep both together, isn't it? Material life and spiritual life together. We are thinking, if both are going very well in life, then we have made it a success. This is our great, gross misunderstanding in us. So big misunderstanding in us. And with this misunderstanding, we are living in this world. That I'm thinking that, okay, materially I'm not doing too bad. And added to that, spiritually also, I'm following all four regulative principles. And I'm chanting my 16 rounds. Fine. Krishna says, that's how much you want it. So I'll give you that. I'll give you that 16 rounds and 4 regs, and also give you pay your mortgage and bills and everything, and the job and the family life and the friends and the relatives and the society. And we think that, oh, he must be a great devotee. He's doing fantastic. He's doing both materially well and he's doing spiritually as well very well. So all these remarks, total ignorance this is. This is total ignorance. These two things don't go together very well. Which one? These two things. That's why I say, yathai, only from the, when you hear from the great personalities, those who have reached that state, you can see and look at them, they had no material life. They are finished with that. They have closed that chapter once for all. There is no more opening up that chapter again for them. Whereas we are still thinking, that is not perfect. That's why all the great devotees and all the great jnanis, they are all mad. In our view, isn't it? In our view, they are all mad. Anybody, if you take, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing and people were thinking, what has happened to him? What has happened to him? This is what people are thinking about him, isn't it? And same thing with all the great jnanis also. Because they have not lived in this world like the way we think. If they are living according to our society, then we say, oh, he's okay. He's doing the right thing. But they are people who have rejected the society. They have no faith in this so-called society. This society is an interesting thing if you analyze it properly. So what is society? Society means a group of people, all false egos. One false ego telling the other false ego, you respect my false ego, I'll respect your false ego. Basically, that's what it is. You respect my false ego, I'll respect your false ego. And then we have made a group of rules within which we can operate here in this world. And we have set up the rules. That, what is that rule? The rules like this. I'll come to your marriage and you'll come to my marriage. And like this, all mutual business, each other. These are the rules we have set up in the society, isn't it? So long as you honor it, you are a member of the society. If you don't honor it, out you go. So this is what is called a society. And that society, you won't get jnanis and the devotees to follow. You won't get them for that. You can forget about them. They are in a different world they live. And there is a reason they have created another world. In Jagrat, you live by the society. In the realized state, you don't live by the society. Society is finished for them. There's no such thing like that. So that's why it's saying here, yadha yadha pratyagavasthitam mana, that as the mind becomes gradually established in the self, pratyagavasthitam, pratyagalpa means inside the soul. Yadha yadha pratyagavasthitam mana, when the mind starts getting established there, tada munjadi bahya vasana. Immediately you start leaving one after the other all the vasanas that take us outwardly. Bahya vasanas will go away from it. Nishesha mokshe sadi vasananam atmanubhuti pratibhadda shunyaha. So, when all those such desires, why do we go world outside, interact with the world outside? Because desires inside, isn't it? Desires inside, that's the only reason why we are busy with the world outside. And you can see, if you quietly analyze it, you can see it's nothing but the five senses dragging in five different directions. Prahlada calls it like that. Not allowing to look inwards. Go outside looking for this, that, little enjoyment here, little enjoyment there. Sometimes through the eyes, sometimes through the taste, sometimes through the hearing, like this. So all the senses are keeping us busy in this world. So here it says, Nishesha moche sadi vasananam. And what is causing this vasana inside? Vasanas inside are taking us there. And Nishesha moche sadi vasana alpanubhuti pratibandha shunyaham. When all these things are stopped, shunyada, vasana shunya means no vasanas inside, and the mind is not going out anymore, in such a state, realization of the soul will happen. In a natural way, it will happen. So you can see that vasanas are there, which is causing this obstruction inside. So, Paramahamsas have developed this. Paramahamsas have come to that stage. That means the mind, which is going external, they have directed inwardly and inwardly towards the soul. And inquiry has begun, who I am. And they have already concluded, I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence. But beyond all these things, I am existing. Beyond all these things, I am existing in my awareness. Anubhavam, experiencing that. Ahamasmi, ahamasmi, ahamasmi. I am that awareness he has awakened in them very strongly, and this is called a chitta, isn't it? This is called chitta. If you remember, satta chitta anandam, it's a very interesting thing, this satta chitta anandam, if you study this properly. See, these three things is how we talk about the soul, isn't it? Satta chitta anandam. If you tell somebody the soul's identity is satta chitta anandam, he will blink. He will, first of all, he doesn't understand what the soul is, and then he says, "The soul is what, satta chitta anandam? What does that mean?" But you can understand it in a different way. These three things is present in us in our dealings with the world also. Have you observed that? The same satta chitta anandam is coming through us. It is the same satta what you are looking for. How? This thing called security in this world, what you are looking for is that satta aspect coming through you. In illusion, you are looking for actually sat. Eternity is what you are searching after, isn't it? Shashvatatvam. Shashvatatvam means you know that if you hold on to something which is permanent, there is shelter there, isn't it? That you know already. And therefore, you are looking for that permanent thing. But because you don't know what that is, what happens to all of us is that we are looking for security here in this world, isn't it? We are looking for security, shashvatatvam. So this desire for security is in all of us, isn't it? We all want security in this world. That's why we are working. That's why we are buying a property. That's why we are getting married, thinking that family will be there or the house will be there. So many things. Everything, if you look, you are looking for security actually. That's why 40, 50 years of our life we have been working for what? For this security only, isn't it? Some people say, I'll work up to 40 or 50 and then I'll retire. Because what's the thought behind it? He's thinking that by 40, 50, I'll be more secure by then. All these ideas I'm saying, this is not natural in a human mind. But why this thought came, that at the age of 50, 60, I want to be secure? It's coming from this thought, I am satta. Satta manifests, the sat aspect of the soul manifests in us in this form. In this form. Similarly, the chit aspect. Chit aspect, chit is the origin inside. And it is from there all the different kinds of happinesses and knowledge is coming to us. Knowledge is coming from the chit, isn't it? Satta, chitta, anandam, isn't it? Satta, chitta, and anandam. So these three things is coming to us from the soul in three different ways. In three different ways to us. That so satta aspect is coming through looking for security in this world. Chitta aspect is coming looking for happiness in this world. Looking for happiness in this world. Sukham, is that what you are searching after? Sukham is what you are searching after. So like this, and anandam is the nature of the soul. Anandam is the nature of the soul. So whenever you are experiencing happiness, sukham, you can take it that it is coming from the soul. But only thing is, the anandam that is coming from the soul is different, but when it gets through the mind, it gets polluted and it becomes sensual happiness. Becomes sensual happiness. So sensual happiness, when you experience in this world, you can take it, it is that anandam that is coming from the soul. It is perverted and comes through the senses to this existence in this world. So Sachidanandam is experienced here by all of us, and that is the kind of so this Krishna is saying here. Now let's look at what Krishna has to say. Krishna is saying here that this chitta aspect is nothing but experience, isn't it? That experiencing something is coming from the, you see, when you say full, we say eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. What does knowledge mean? Knowledge means your ability to experience something. Knowledge is not something understood by the brain. Eh? Just leave that behind. Brain has no value here. Brain is completely rejected. You say something as knowledge is only if it is experienced by you. And that ability to experience something is coming from the chit. It's coming from the chit. Yeah? So experience is coming from the chit. The anandam is coming through happiness through the senses. And security is felt through the bank balance and the job and the house and all other things. Is that now clear? That the three aspects of the soul, satta, chitta, anandam, in the material world, we are experiencing in these levels. Why? Because it is through the mind and the senses. If you understand, accept this, then it makes a lot easier. Because this is the only way you can go back to the soul. Soul is your origin. The same qualities of the soul is coming to us, even our material dealings in this world. Yeah. So the security feeling, shashvatam, eternity, is the nature inside of the soul. And it is that vibration has come through us and it is manifesting here in the wrong way, in shelter of the house, family and society, community and all that. That has come from the soul. Similarly, the experience of all these things, that I am experiencing this, knowledge side, in other words, when we refer to knowledge, it means experience. Of various things in this world, you are able to experience and you are able to appreciate all these things. This capacity is nothing but a manifestation of the chit potency inside. And similarly, the anandam or happiness of the soul is what you are experiencing when you are experiencing your happiness through the senses and sense enjoyment. So, a perverted form of the soul's nature, attributes, is what our life in this world is. Our life in this world. To such an extent, soul is in control on everything. Because it is so subtle, and because we don't think these aspects of the soul, we are always thinking, oh, I've done this, I've done that. Who is doing this? That person inside is doing that. Krishna did not create us empty-handed. He created, packed us with everything. That's why human body is perfection, isn't it? All koshams are there. Annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam, anandamayam. Remember these five sheath around surround the soul. That makes the whole creation complete inside this body. Whereas animals doesn't have vijnanamayam or anandamayam. Have you seen any dog smiling any time? He will only bark at you. That's all. Nothing else he does, isn't it? Similarly, if you look at the trees and plants and all that, they have many koshams missing in them, isn't it? They've got annamayam, they've got pranamayam also. When it goes to anandamayam, they don't have. Whereas we can smile at someone, isn't it? We can show our happiness in our face. So this is why I'm saying that the human body is perfect. Perfect in the sense all that is necessary for self-realization, Krishna has packed into that body. Plus, He has given us Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam. And also, while talking to Uddhava, Krishna is saying here that these three aspects of the soul, which is manifesting in these three perverted forms in this world, in our day-to-day dealings in this world, Krishna says here that that attention from the experience of this world, if you shift it towards the soul, Tushnim Bhaved. Krishna says, Tushnim Bhaved. Go back into the text again. Look into the verses. What Krishna says here. In two words, Krishna has packed the whole thing, what he had to say. 35 in the same chapter. Verse 35. If you look at that verse, you will see. Drishtim dada pratinivritya nivritta trishna tushnim bhavel nijasukhanu bhavo niriham. Samdrishyate kuja yadidam avastu buddhya tyaktam bhramayana bhavel smirdirani padal. Yeah. Drishtim dada pratinivritya nivritta trishna tushnim bhavel. Krishna says tushnim bhavel. Nijasukhanu bhavo niriham. That whole verse is the essence of everything. That drishtim dada pratinivartya nivartya trishna. It says here that because it is creation of the mind. What is it, creation of the mind? This whole creation is nothing but a creation of the mind. And because it is temporary, know very well that just like what you have experienced in the dream, it's also a false thing. And also realize that Krishna says here that unless you take your attention from this false creation, into the soul and free from desires, free from activities, and free from talking nonsense. He says like that, isn't it? Drishtim dada pradinivritya nivritta trishna. Stushnim bhave nijasukhani bhavo niriha. Samdrishyade koja yadidam avastu buddhya. Tyaktam brahmaya na bhavel smriti anipadan. Krishna says there that even if you have shifted your attention towards the soul, you may feel a small degree of reality while eating food and all that. Because you have not left the body completely. Because you are still under the control of the body, even though you have shifted your attention to a great extent towards the soul, in certain instances, Krishna says, in certain instances, for example, while eating the food, you may experience the world outside. Because food has become such an integral part of us, isn't it? Food is the first thing in this world. So it is the closest thing to us. Because it is like that, so ingrained in us, that thought and the desire for food and attachment to the food is so ingrained. Even if you have withdrawn your mind from all other things in this world, and your attention in this world has gone away to a large extent, but while eating and all, it can still happen to some level. Trishtim dada pratinivartya nivirta drishna tushnim bhavel nijasukhanubhavo nirihaha samdrishyade kojam yadidam avastu buddhyaha tyaktam brahmaya na bhavel smriti anipadal. Krishna is saying tyaktam brahmaya. Brahma means what? Brahma means this misunderstanding. As far as Krishna is concerned, the whole thing is a misunderstanding in front of us about this world, about this body, about our dualities of this world. This is all misunderstanding, Krishna is saying there. That it is only coming from that. But if you want to free yourself from this, Krishna says, we should take away, come to that state, free from desires. Drishtim dada, that is that word, nivritta trishna. Nivritta trishna means desires must go 100% from inside. 100% it has to go. We are still not sure whether which one to keep and which one to throw away. That decision has not been made. That is why we are still where we are. That decision is still not made yet. Which one to keep and which one to throw away. We are not decided to give up everything. That, of course, we have not done it. But how many we want to throw away? That's the only question we have not decided. And Krishna is saying, Nivritta Trishna. Where is the difference between Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? Bhagavad Gita is saying exactly the same thing, isn't it? That Krishna says, Esham Brahmistiti Partha, Arjuna says to Brahma. Alpanyev Atmana Tushta, he says, isn't it? He says there, isn't it? Alpanyev Atmana Tushta. So, situated in the soul means one thing. Situated in the material world is another thing. Full of material desires and plan to make perfection in spiritual life, that's not possible. That's not possible. So, when we read Ekadasha Skandam, we have to know that Krishna is expecting a very high degree of detachment from this world in order that the Ekadasha Skandam will become some reality to us. Unless there is that high renunciation and detachment from this world, it's not going to happen. So, we have to make that decision, Krishna says, not him. Whether you want this Ekadasham or you want your happy, comfortable family life and social life and all. So those, according to that, we will understand Bhagavatam also. So, drishtim dada pradinivartya nivritta trishna. Krishna's word is tushnim bhavel. Tushnim bhavel means that withdraw from this. Nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. That nija sukhanu, this false level of happiness, what you have, perceiving from that through your senses. Even if sandrishyade kojam yadidam avastu buddhya tyaktam brahmaya na bhavel smriti anipadal. Even Krishna saying sandrishyade kojam yadidam avastu buddhya. So yadidam avastu buddhya. Even if you have a little small degree of that reality still you are experiencing in this world, that is because of the existence of the body. Because of the existence of the body it is happening. Because when the body is existing, body will demand certain things, isn't it? So, when the body is demanding certain things, that becomes a reality to some degree to us. If you feel certain reality in that. But Krishna is saying, don't worry, at a certain stage that will also go at some point. So, that is why, and because the existence of the body, it is coming from the Purva Samskaram. The Samskaram is that's what has created the body or the Prarabdha Shariram. So, Krishna says here that just sit down, Tushnim Bhavet. Tushnim Bhavet, that's the answer Krishna is saying here. So, Tushnim Bhavet means be situated within the self. That's all. So, there, once you go into the soul, there is no duality there. There is no duality there. If you are on the spiritual platform, duality won't disturb anybody. Duality won't disturb anybody. Duality is only in the bodily identity. He is my friend, he is my enemy. He is the boss, he is the servant. And he is black, he is white. He is... these are all dualities, isn't it? Dualities of this boy and girl, night and day, happiness and distress. All these variations is all coming from the dualities of this world. But once this chittam, once that has come up, it is chit that becomes chittam. That also you have to know. Chit is that potency inside. Satta, chitta, anandam. Chit is when it is in pure form. When chit acquires all the vasanas, it becomes chittam. See? Remember? Chittam is where when we leave the traces of our karma. Isn't it? You remember, from the mind, you are sankalpam created about a particular activity. Intelligence comes and chooses one and fixes on that. After the karma is executed, a vasana is left behind and that goes into chit. And when the vasana piles up inside the chit, it becomes chittam. It becomes chittam. So that's the way the subtle things operate inside. So Krishna is saying here, once the chittam is there, there will be duality. But once you are in the chit state, there is no duality. So that is why Krishna is asking Uddhava. Uddhava asks Krishna, isn't it? How come people are ignorant like this? In that verse, you remember the powerful words Uddhava spoke to Krishna. What is that? Then Uddhava says to Krishna that Vidanti Martya Prayena Vishayan Padama Padam Tadavi Bunjade Krishna Talkadam Shokharajavad. Yeah? That verse. Remember? That Vidanti Martya Prayana Vishayan Padamapadam Tadavi Bunjade Krishna Talkadam Shokharajavad. How come Krishna, all these people who know that sense enjoyment is, this is verse 8, say where sense enjoyment is misery, and knowing very well what they are experiencing in life, that still they keep on doing this. Like Shuava Karam Ajam. Dogs and donkeys and goats. Goats, yeah? Like these three. Uddhava is asking this question to Krishna, isn't it? So you can see why Uddhava asked that question. We are confused why Uddhava is asking such a question. Does Uddhava not enjoy senses? This question we may ask. Because this is the only thing what we have known in our life, isn't it? The Shokarajavad state. So therefore, when Uddhava asked that question, straight away Krishna broke that question. Ahamityanyadha buddhi. He says there, Shri Bhagavan Vaja. Next verse, if you look. Ahamityanyadha buddhi pramattasyadha hridi ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tato vaigarigam manaha. Remember that? Two words are enough for Krishna to answer that question. Why? Krishna is speaking from the pure spiritual platform. Ahamityanyadha buddhi. That is what has happened to you. He says, Ahamityanyadha buddhi. He says, Pramattasya yada hridi. Now, who is Pramatta? Pramatta means one who is completely ignorant. Ignorant from the spiritual platform. We are calling somebody as ignorant, oh, he doesn't know any of these things, so he's ignorant, we say. But from Krishna's point of view, ignorance is one who has fallen from the platform of self-realization. So, one who has made already a mistake, Pramadam has come to him. He is already in the mode of this Rajogunam and Tamogunam. And he is thinking that he is becoming knowledgeable. And this is all bogus because people in Rajogunam, Tamogunam, they acquire all these qualifications in this world. isn't it? And they claim themselves as highly educated, and after the name they put 2-3 lines of degrees and qualifications and all that. Spiritually also they have started now doing this. But Krishna is saying, Ahamityanyada Buddhi, if you look into any of the self-realized souls, they never give you a visiting card saying that self-realized soul, so and so. And there will be no degrees attached to that. Have you noticed that? That you can put anything on them, but that's another thing. You can give them some qualifications. They don't want any of our qualifications. What we have got to offer them is also not very much. So this Ahamityanyada Buddhi is that thing. Ahamityanyada Buddhi means that we have already lost that, our proper identity. Anyada Buddhi, already identified with something which is very false. That is this body, mind, intelligence and all that. And immediately what happens? Pramattase Yadahridi. That Pramattam. Pramattam means Pramadam. Pramadam means this ignorance has already gone in. There's nothing we can do about it. One who has lost his step and fallen. So what is the fallen state? Because he's seeing another existence of duality in this world. Another second thing exists. He started seeing that. Where did the second state come? The second state has come because when the first state has come. From number one came two, isn't it? First there was one. You add one more to one and then it becomes two. And then you add one, it becomes three. So from one comes everything. Two comes, three comes. They all come from one. One is the origin, isn't it? So from one came two. And from two, another one added and became three. And three, another one added and became four. Like that it goes. So Krishna's point is that when you have started seeing there is one, and then already, what is that one Krishna is talking about? That is that one Krishna is saying, the false ego inside. That you have woken up. In the morning when we got up, when the first day, and every morning, when the false ego wakes up, isn't it? It's a false ego which wakes up in the morning. First thing. When the false ego wakes up, and we identify with that false ego, the one has come. The one has come into existence. After that one, what happens? Whole day, so many other identifications have started with that. A special individual false ego. In other words, Vyakti Ahanda. What is that? I am so-and-so. I am so-and-so. In Sushupti, it wasn't there. In Sushupti, deep sleep didn't exist. In deep sleep, when you are sleeping comfortably, there was no individuality there. False ego wasn't existing. Body, mind, intelligence, and man, woman, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, king, pauper, none of these things, it wasn't existing in the deep sleep state. But as soon as you came out of the Sushupti and the mind popped up, all these things have popped up. False ego, along with that, all the other identities as well. So you can see from here that the mind wakes up at within oneself, first thing, isn't it? what is that? I am so and so. I am so and so. That's how our identity begins. And what else happens there? Once it has happened that I am so-and-so, after it has happened and woken up, our identity is established, I am so-and-so. Then we plan our day, the rest of the day. I have to go to office at 9 o'clock, or I have to pay these bills today, or so many other things which are related to my false ego, all comes established at that point. All comes established at that point. And all these things, in the night when you go back to bed, when you go back to bed, all those things get dissolved, isn't it? So when you wake up, it all comes up. When it gets dissolved, it all gets dissolved. When it gets dissolved, it all gets dissolved. Vijrambhade means sagalam vijrambhade. It's called vijrambhanam. This particular thing is called vijrambhanam, the mind. Mind's vijrambhanam. It is, in other words, it is spoken that the that the mind in nature is this thing called vijrambhanam. Na hasya vidya manaso di manaso irigada mano avidya bhavabandha hedu tasmin tasmin vinashte sagalam vinashtam vijrambhadesmin sagalam vijrambhade. This process of the birth of the mind in a person is called vijrambhanam. Vijrambhana means the mind popping up in the morning and then making plans throughout the day in different... This is all due to the presence of the mind, isn't it? So this is called in Shastram as Vijrambhanam. Vijrambhanam means it comes out. And it says here that Vijrambhades means Sagalam Vijrambhade. Only when your mind has come into existence, all your planning starts, isn't it? Whole day, lot of planning we do, isn't it? Monday to Friday, our diary is full with all sorts of garbage we have written there. And you're feeling happy in the evening. Have I finished everything what I've written in the diary? Or your personal advisor or your Blackberry or Blueberry, whatever that is, is telling you so many things. All this Blackberry, Blueberry and all that is come from this mind, isn't it? That's what he's saying here. Vijrambhade means sagalam vijrambhade. You can expand that to any extent you want, isn't it? This mind, what is giving us these ideas, those people have expanded it and we pay money and buy it. How to get trapped in that process, isn't it? So therefore, this is why I'm saying, spiritually advanced people also, if they fall into this trap, then what will you do? If they also say you need a BlackBerry to make spiritual advancement, they start telling you that, then it is very difficult, isn't it? So the thing is this, that Vijrambhades means Sakalam Vijrambhanam, Sakalam Vijrambhade. That as soon as the mind has come in the morning, then the world is come in its whole form in front of us. Then it is within this that our operation begins, whole daily activities begins. So Krishna's point is that if you want to go inward looking, you have to throw your BlackBerry first. Keeping your BlackBerry and then self-realization will be a bit difficult. Because BlackBerry will take your time away. That is Vijrambhanam. It's a Vijrambhanam of the mind, isn't it? So, highly advanced and realized souls, you will see them, they withdraw from all these things. They don't need it anymore because they have no value for it. Why? Because they have understood that ignorance, avidya, outside the mind alone is avidya. The mind itself is avidya. And it is the cause of the bondage and transmigration. When that is destroyed, all else is destroyed. And when it is manifested, everything else is manifested. This is the beauty. That if the mind is very active, and if your mind is dragging you in this world, Vijambadesman Sagalam Vijrambhanam, all this Vijrambhanam will happen. And you will become extremely absorbed in that. And by controlling the mind, withdrawing from the world, if the inquiry for the soul begins inside, what will happen? Little by little, this mind will withdraw. And when the mind withdraws, what will happen? Everything else is destroyed. Immediately, everything else is destroyed. Tasmin vinashte sagalam vinashtam. So, therefore, all the spiritually advanced people, they target on the mind. They target on the mind. Why we chant the holy name? Targeting on the mind, isn't it? Mano Nirodham, it's called Ekadash Dashamaskandam in the 10th canto, is Mano Nirodham, controlling the mind. So, mind is the one which is causing all this problem. So, Krishna says here, Ahamityanyada buddhi pramattase yadahridi. So, pramattase yadahridi. So, when that mind pops up, pramattasya anyada buddhi happens. See? So when the mind happens, wakes up in the morning and gives you this experience of this world, Krishna says, it is at that point, ahamityanyada buddhi happens to us. Ahamityanyada buddhi. All this happens in so short a time, in you can't even, microseconds you can say, all these things happens within us. From the deep sleep state, when you came to the awakened state, the mind woke up and the mind came into existence. So Krishna is saying, Ahamityanyada buddhi has come because of pramattase yadahridi. The pramattam means that pramadam or avidya that is manifested in the present, in the form of mind inside. And vijrambhades means sakalam vijrambhanam. And that mind expands in a big way immediately inside. Yeah? Mind expands, isn't it? Mind expands. Why? Mind expands because through this mind only you have connection with this world. isn't it? Through this mind only we are connecting with the world. And whatever you have planned in your inside about their activities, karmam, or different identities, is all through this mind. All I am a man, I am a woman, I am English, I am American. All this is mind's creation, isn't it? So Pramatta says that is Pramattam. That all these millions of identities or millions of designations, what we have accepted is Pramattam. Is Pramadam, it's called Ajnanam. Pramattasya Yadahridi, Krishna is saying, as soon as in your heart this Pramadam has developed, Ahamityanyada Buddhi, you have gone away from the truth. You have fallen already. So the change has to happen in a very subtle level, isn't it? On a gross level, you can't change all these things. This is on a gross level, you can follow the regulative principles, you can do certain things like kirtanam, bhajanam and all that. All that also does help to come to this understanding. Why? It's all targeted towards only one thing, to get this mind in under proper control. So it says here that pramattasya yadahridi, and what is that? Pramattasya yadahridi ahamityanyada buddhi, that pride inside, I am an individual. I am somebody important in this world. This, all these things. So, Pramatyasa Yadakhati, and that personal false ego has developed already. Remember in the Bhagavad Gita, we discussed this, two kinds of false ego. One is general false ego, and the other one is special false ego. Samanya Hangaram and Vishesha Hangaram. Vishesha Hangaram is this thing, to think Durabhimanam, it's called. In other words, to think I am somebody very important, everybody should respect me, or everybody should salute me, all these kind of things. I am a rich man, I should be honored in the assembly of people. All kinds of, these are all special ahangaram or vishesha ahangaram. Samanya ahangaram we all have, special ahangaram may vary. Samanya ahangaram is this, I mentioned that also, what samanya ahangaram means. Samanya Hangaram means to think that I am this body. That itself is Samanya Hangaram. Or this is my family. This is my wife. This is my children. And this is my society. This identity. This is Samanya Hangaram in everyone. Vishesha Hangaram is special for different people. It will vary. So this Ahangaram begins at that point. So you can also notice, it is only when the mind has popped up inside, you started discriminating, I am, you, he, they, them, all these things has come. We study grammar very seriously, isn't it? First person, second person, third person, all kinds of things. And if you don't know these things, you don't know anything they say. But Krishna is saying, if you know all these things, you are in ignorance. Unfortunately, it is like that. There is no first person, there is no second person, there is only one thing. The truth, absolute truth Krishna refers to, that's Krishna. Only Krishna exists, nothing else exists. But first person, second person, third person has come, ahamityanyada buddhi. It's from there that has come about. You see? So you can see here that as much as material knowledge is always going against the spiritual knowledge, that's why material knowledge is called jadavidya. Jadavidya means it's only related to dead matter. It won't help in spiritual life. That's why people who are very advanced on the material side, knowledge, education, they find it spiritual life very hard for them. Why? Because so much garbage is already gone in, that it's very hard to wipe it out now, clean up. It takes a long, long time. Unless Krishna's mercy has a role. So here he says here that, who brings this? Mind brings this. Me, you, he, they, them. All this he, she, this is all ahamity anyada buddhi. Aham has come first, anyada buddhi has come along with that. So all those things Krishna has included in that two words. Ahamity anyada buddhi, pramattasya yadakhridi, ulsarpadi rajo ghoram. Ulsarpadi rajo ghoram, tato vaigarigam mana. Tato vaigarigam mana. So Krishna says here that that especially that vyakti abhimanam, the pride of oneself, tuamaham idamidi. So here if you look at it, you will see here that a chit state, when there is no vigalpam, when there is no vigalpam, that vigalpam state is also spoken, what it is like when there is no vigalpam inside. When there is no vigalpam inside, ത്വമഹമിതി ത്വമഹമിത ഇതമിതീയം കൽപ്പനാ ബുദ്ധിദോഷാൽ പ്രഭവതി പരമാത്മൻ അന്യദ്വയേ നിർവിശേഷേ പ്രവിലസതി സമാധാവസ്യ സർവോം വികൽപ്പം വിലയനം ഉപഗച്ഛേൽ വസ്തുതത്വാവബുദ്ധ്യാ തത്വാവധൃത്യാം. ദാറ്റ് ഇൻ അദർ വേർഡ്സ് ത്വമഹം ഇതമിതീയം കൽപ്പന ബുദ്ധിദോഷാൽ പ്രഭവതി പരമാത്മൻ അദ്വയേ നിർവികൽപ്പേ. കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് അഹമിച്ച് അന്യതാബുദ്ധി ഓൾസോ വെൻ ദർ ഇസ് നോ വികൽപ്പം ഇൻസൈഡ് ബിക്കോസ് ഐ മെൻഷൻ വാട്ട് വികൽപ്പം മീൻസ് ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ് യു റിമെമ്പർ ദാറ്റ് ഓൺലി 2 minutes ago I mentioned, but I don't know whether it's still there or not. So then I'm just checking whether it's what's happening. Vigalpa means through the senses, through the mind, whatever you have collected garbage from this world, that is called vigalpa. All that what is coming through the mind and the senses, that's all vigalpa in a person. And vigalpa is what has caused the avarana chudi. Remember, avarana chudi means that covering potency, the covering of that illusion. Illusion has got two things, vikshepam, avaranam, isn't it? That these are very fundamentals in the spiritual life. Covering potency, deluding potency. Covering potency is that what we discussed about the snake and the rope, you remember? So not seeing the rope properly is the deluding potency. Superimposing on that as the snake is the covering potency. Yeah. If you look at the world also, the world is not a, in that sense, a reality, isn't it? It's a temporary thing. But what do? We accept this world as reality, isn't it? That is our deluding potency. In apart from that, to give, not only give reality to this world, but to give something, some identity to everything, and to accept that particular identity is the covering potency. This example of snake and rope, you have to impose that on the world also. Yeah? And that is what Parikshit will talk about in the 12th canto. You will see, all that has gone from me now. This world doesn't exist. Takshaka who came to bite me, the poison he was going to inject upon me, my material body, all that has become only one now. It's only Drik existing there. You will see that. Last verse in the 5th chapter of the 12th canto. If you look, if you want, I can read that verse for you. And you can see how Parikshit talks about it when he has come out of his identity with the body. He says there that the Dashandam Dakshagam Pade Lelihanam Vishanalaihi Nadrakshasi Shariram Ja Vishwam Ja Prathagalmanam. He says here that Dashandam Dakshagam Pade Lelihanam Vishanalai. Then Takshaga, what kind of Takshaga? Who has bitten on my foot? And Lelihanam Vishanalai, and the poison that has come from Takshaga. Shariram, my material body. Vishwam, this world. Nadrakshasi, I don't see any of these things. Parikshit is saying, I'm not seeing any of these things. And what I'm seeing? Prithak Almana, only the soul. So you can see, Sukadeva Goswami has brought Parikshit to that state. This is what has happened to Parikshit. Parikshit has realized there is no thing called Takshaga. There is no thing called Takshaga's poison. There is no thing called the material body. And there is no thing called the world either. Yeah. So, Dashandam Takshagam Vade Lelihanam Vishanalaihi Nadrakshasi Shariram Cha Vishwam Cha. Neither Shariram nor this body nor this world nor this Takshaga nor his poison. Where is all that, he's asking? Nadrakshasi. I'm not seeing any of those things here. What am I seeing? Prithak Almana. Only the soul. Nothing else. When this verse came from Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami understood. He has reached the destination. He walked out from there. Didn't stay after that. That's why you don't see Sukadeva Goswami anymore after that in the Bhagavatam. Just try to imagine this scene in your own mind. Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami spoke 7 days, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. When Sukadeva Goswami spoke Bhagavatam, first canto, end of first canto, Sukadeva Goswami arrived. And Parikshit Maharaj sat there in great distress. What was the distress? From 7 days from now, he has to leave his body. The Shamika Rishi's son has cursed him, isn't it? Has cursed him that in 7 days' time he has to leave the body. So all the great sages were present there. You can see the list mentioned in the Bhagavatam. And later on, Sudev Goswami walks in. The great yogis and the jnanis and the devotees and who were all present there, they were all proposing different things to Parikshit. Somebody was saying you should perform a lot of sacrifices. Karmagandam, they were proposing to Parikshit. The yogis were proposing Ashtanga Yogam to them. Parikshit said, Ashatvalam Ghayada Vishnu Ghada, talk to me about Krishna. I don't want to hear anything else. Why did he say that? Why Parikshit said like that? The reason is, if you have thought about it, you would have got the answer. Reason is this. While in the womb of Uttaradevi, he has seen Krishna. And that one experience, although Krishna has disappeared, has put inside this understanding that that is the truth. Once you meet the truth, it will stay that, like that. So he has experienced the truth once. This is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that if at some point in lifetime, if you experience that truth even for a second, Parikshit has not even experienced in the life, he has experienced in the womb. And that has protected him at the last minute when he had to give up his body. So that is why Sudeva Goswami spoke Srimad Bhagavatam 7 days. And at the end of Bhagavatam, Sudeva Goswami made sure that after talking about Krishna, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam he spoke about Krishna, and at the end has Parikshit reached that state of consciousness. Only after he made sure Parikshit has got there, he walked out from there. Then he didn't say one word to him, Parikshit. Why is that he didn't say one word? Both of them have reached that state of consciousness, which you see in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam. What does he say? It says there that the, if you remember that verse, that in the Bhagavatam, if you look at the first verses, which we are singing every day, sometimes it doesn't come to our mind. I also repeated so many times that verse. That is a verse with Krishna where he says there that that is how Sudha Goswami praises he says here, Kyam pravrajantam anubhetam apeta krityam dvaipayano virahakadharam ajuhava putredi danmai dayattaravobhinedu tam sarvabhudakhdayam munim anatosmi sarvabhudakhdayam. What does that mean? Sarvabhudakhdayam means he is present in everyone's heart. In other words, once a self-realization has happened, you are present in everybody's heart. And Parikshit has reached that stage, so there is no need to ask now, Parikshit, give me your phone number, I'll call you when I get back to Mahalokam. That stage is gone now for them. That realization happens in that way. There is no more further discussion. That state of realization is such. Sudeva Goswami is in that state. Parikshit has reached that state as well. And that is a clear proof in that verse that Takshaka, who has bitten me, his poison, my material body, this whole world, nothing exists. Na drakshasi. Shariram cha vishvam pratyagatmana, pratyagatmana. That means only what exists is my soul. So pure, perfect, self-realized state has arrived there. So here, tvamaham idamidiyam kalpana buddhi doshal prabhavadi paramatmani advaye nirvigalpem. So this state without any vigalpam, that is the most important thing what we are referring to. It's already time. So without any vigalpam, only in pure chit this state can be experienced. Only in the pure chit state, not chitam, in the chit states. So as soon as one vigalpam comes, immediately the false ego also will follow. I am existing, you are existing, he is existing, all such things will come. The interesting thing is, this is not only it's not something you are feeling within yourself, but it is an amazing thing because it is this thought that is keeping us in different material bodies life after life. That I am this, I am that. That thought never leaves us. This false ego, that is what is taking us through different bodies, birth after birth, that I am something separate from my spiritual identity. How to get out of this spiritual identity, that is what Krishna is going to talk about it. Krishna is going to talk about it. Krishna speaks in a very condensed form. Krishna says here, Drishtim Radha Pravivarti Nivarta Trishna, finished. He says, that's all Krishna has to say. That Krishna's words, if you look at that verse, what Krishna says there, he says like this, he says there that Nicha Sukhanu Bhavo Niriha. He says there, isn't it? That Tushnim Bhavel. Tushnim Bhavel means stay in your spiritual identity. That's all. Tushnim Bhavel. If you stay Tushnim Bhavel, Nicha Sukhanu Bhavo Niriha, then you are self-realized. That's all he has to say. Krishna said very simple. Everything very simple. But when you start looking at that, you can see that the problem that is coming from these things, just like you saw the snake in the rope, how can you take it away, that vision from inside? To get rid of the snake, can you bring a stick and start beating the snake? Will that go away? Because if you give close attention to that rope or to the snake, if you give close attention to the snake, you realize that there is no snake, there is only rope. There is only rope. Because the attention was in there, therefore you saw it as rope instead of the snake. The same example, because our attention or Shraddha is in the world instead of on the soul, we are having this problem. So, that is what Krishna says in one word there, Tushnim Bhavel. Take your attention away from there and look inwards. And you will see the truth there. Drishtim dada pratinivritti nivritta trishna tushnim bhavel nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. Very important words. Every word is important, what Krishna has spoken. Nija sukhanu bhavo niriha. That we are all in the field of nija sukham, false happiness. Why? Because it's coming through senses. That's a false happiness. Through senses, through mind, we are experiencing this world and thinking that this is happiness. This is called, I told you in the beginning, that sukham, what is coming through senses and the mind, is only a perverted happiness of what soul is offering inside from the anandam stage. So, satya chitta anandam, when it comes in this world in the form of security and happiness, and anandam, in other words, all these things are the perverted reflection of that pure identity of the soul, isn't it? So Krishna says, all you have to do is very simple. He says, Tushnim Bhavel. Give up this false happiness. Nija Sukhanu Bhavo Niriha Sandrashade. Says, go back inwards and look there and you will find it. We'll discuss next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah.